John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's no way I can pay you back, but the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet
dear mama.
Place no one above you, sweet.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you.
Live, local, high atop Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta. A Mother's Day edition of On the Marks. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, I am Jason Marks. And to my mother back in Alabama, if she happens to be listening to this audio train wreck, happy Mother's Day. 404-741-0929. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. But like Jeff Benedict always says, I don't have access to it, so I'm not going to be able to see what you're texting. But you can tweet me your response at 929TheGame and on my Twitter handle at OnTheMarksRadio. Give me a follow. I'll either make you laugh or just make you mad and then unfollow me back. So we're talking about Atlanta sports, and I think that if you've listened to the conversations that have been going on at the station in the last, say, month, even building up to the Matt Ryan contract extension, to the free agency, you know, picking up guys like Brandon Fusco and recently Terrell McLean, that there's a little bit of frustration. And I understand it, and I equivalate it to a term that seems to be getting a little bit popular, and that is hangry. You're hungry for a championship. The city has not had one since 1995. And you were close to having one in Super Bowl 51. And it slipped through the fingertips. It's frustrating. And that hunger has not been satisfied. And a Snickers bar will not satisfy it. Because you've seen the commercials where somebody gets a little belligerent, a little hostile, they bite into a Snickers, and then they're okay. But that's not going to solve the problem here. A championship will solve that problem. So that's what I don't say it as derogatory or insulting. I think that we all really feel that way. We're feeling a little hangry. When you're hungry, you hadn't had something to eat in a while, and you can't get that opening to where you can go grab a snack, the curb of the hunger, and you start getting a little bit frustrated, and you start getting a little aggressive. And I think that's, in some ways, maybe has forced us or caused us to not see that actually things are not as bad as they could have been or have been in the past. You're hangry. You're starving for a championship. You start getting some irrational emotions, and some of you guys just take it out on Matt Ryan, which to this day I still don't understand. And shout out to John in Union City. I know he's called on here before. We've had these discussions. And I do remember in one of our conversations that he was still bringing up the 2012 NFC Championship game. And John, I'll just say this. Let it go. Let it go. That's in the past. And I know that last season has left a bitter taste in the mouths of Atlanta sports fans, Falcon fans. It left a bitter taste because you knew what this team could be. You saw it the season before. And you held a Philadelphia team, a Philadelphia offense, to 15 points, which they would go on to basically obliterate Minnesota and then New England in the Super Bowl. And you held them to 15 points, but you could only get 10 on the offensive side. And that was the story of the 2017 season for the Atlanta Falcons. And it's frustrating. it leaves a bitter taste. But I think the emotions are getting a little irrational in some cases. Example, Matt Ryan. As you bring up, well, what he did in 2008, 2009, 2010, and even the 2012 NFC Championship game. But you got to let that go because it's not healthy. I'm just looking out for you, John. I'm looking out. It's not healthy to hold that in. Because if you look at the history of this Atlanta Falcons franchise, you could argue that right now it is the most stable that it has been in a very long time. And I think that our frustrations or our hanger, as I like to say, and we're talking about Julio Jones and if he would get out the door, which that's hot take. That's hot take stuff right now. 2 years down the road, it might be another discussion. We don't know. But right now in 2018, that's hot take talk. But if you look at the history, the stability of Atlanta Falcon quarterbacks, this has been the most stable. Matt Ryan, since 2008, has only missed two games. He has been the quarterback for this entire decade, the only one where in the 60s, you had Randy Johnson, Bob Berry. In the 70s, you had Bob Berry, Bob Lee, Steve Barkowski, at one time Scott Hunter. In the 80s, you had Barkowski, and you had our own Dave Archer. You had a little bit of stability with Chris Miller from 88 to 92. But those really weren't good times. Those weren't that great of times. Not in comparison to 2018. Then the Jeff George experiment in 1995. And then you had Chris Chandler, which, by the way, that's another thing to bring up. For all the grief that some of you, just some of you, have given Matt Ryan, he and Chris Chandler have been the only quarterbacks to take you to a Super Bowl. Michael Vick was not able to do that. And Arthur had to move on and draft Matt Ryan after Michael Vick got sent off to Leavenworth for the dogfighting, which now he's in a good place in his life. He's gotten everything together. He's paid his debts, literally and figuratively, and I'm absolutely happy for him. And he's in a good place. But at that time, you had to move on because when he was getting out of Leavenworth, he was not going to be number seven for the Atlanta Falcons. And Arthur Blake accepted that. And he had to move on, and they made the right pick in Matt Ryan. Because if we want to look in comparison to other quarterbacks, you can't find a Tom Brady. You can't find a Aaron Rodgers. You can't find a Matt Ryan at a Dollar General. You might be able to find a Brandon Whedon in a Dollar General or a Tom Savage in a Dollar General. My point being is that things are not as bad as it may be perceived. That maybe the hanger or the starvation for a championship in this town maybe have us a little bit uneasy, thinking that maybe the Super Bowl window is about to close. Now, don't get me wrong, the NFC is going to be tough this upcoming season, especially in the NFC South. But right now, the Falcons are in a good place. They have the stability that a franchise needs to succeed. And I will argue this is the most stable that it's been. With the Braves, I think that there has been a lot of frustration. Some would probably blame Liberty Media. I admit I have done that in the past. But I have also said that they actually made the right call by bringing in a general manager in Alex Anthopoulos. Because you've started to see some of the players that he has brought in that they're starting to produce. And a lot of the young talent that's been in the farm system, where it seems like ages, are finally coming through. The Braves, to me, have promised for the first time since 2010. Yeah, there was a postseason run in 2014 or 2013. And then you had the meltdown in 2014. But 2010, even with the beer league, the 2003 All-Star team roster that they had at the time, they still produced. And there was optimism. And we don't think that we have seen that since. And we're finally seeing it again in 2018, now that the young guys are starting to come up. Ozzie Albies, 12 home runs already on the season. That's incredible. Ronald Acuna, which we have been waiting and waiting and waiting, and he finally came up, and so far he has delivered. Freddie Freeman had a 2-home run night tonight. There is promise, and his team is in first place. And there's a good reason to be optimistic. That's another thing that's not bad about Atlanta sports. And look at Atlanta United. This is a team in its second year. They're competitive in the MLS. I think they make a serious run at the Cup. That is also another optimistic thing to be about. But I understand that this town is starving for a championship. I get it. I understand it. I get that this last season left a bad taste in your mouth because you knew what this team could do. You knew what they were capable of doing. And they weren't able to do it. So there's a little bit of frustration, a little bit of clouded judgment, and to the point where you're bringing back up things that happened 6 years ago or 8 years ago. But I'm telling you, it's okay. We're in a good spot. And finally, this is the one that probably frustrates me. And maybe some hockey fans who watch the Atlanta Thrashers. As the Winnipeg Jets won Game 1 tonight in the Western Conference Finals over the Vegas Golden Knights. And you sit there and go, that team used to be here. That team used to be here. And the only thing that they could muster from their time here in Atlanta was one division championship and getting swept by the Rangers in the playoffs. And now the frustrating part is now you're seeing the team that used to be the Thrashers one step closer to a Stanley Cup. I understand it. It would make you sick to your stomach. But I think that would just take a step back. Take a deep breath. Because things here in Atlanta, to be honest with you, are not as bad as it seems. Coming up next, Chris Goforth and Tony Curry talked with Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops about Atlanta Hawks' new coaching hire. We'll have that next, right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
Turn 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
That's for everybody out in Roswell. I kid. Live, local, high atop the Kia Studios. In Midtown Atlanta, it's On the Marks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am Jason Marks. You can follow us on Twitter at 929 The Game and follow me at On the Marks Radio, 404-741-0929. We'll get to Brad Rowland here in just a second. He joined Chris Goforth and Tony Curry. Let's go to Kevin in Marietta. You're on the Marks on 92.9 The Game. What's up?
Hey, man. Listened for a long time. Love your show.
No, thank you.
Absolutely. I just kind of want to I don't want to say challenge because you're a smart cat, but
I try to play one on the radio. Thank you.
I just want to pick your brain, man. You know, you did a good job of kind of summarizing, I think, the perspective of an Atlanta sports fan, a true Atlanta sports fan.
I admire the passion, but I think a lot of the frustration, it kind of gets vented in the wrong direction of where they needed to be, or where it needs to be. That's more of anything.
Right, and I hear you. I've lived in this town my entire life, 30 years, and I think that, you know, the frustration is a genuine one on my part because whether it's misplaced or not, and that's, I think, what we'll discuss, the fact of the matter is, as an Atlanta fan born and raised, why is it across multiple sports franchises, why is it that in some way, shape, or form, the expectation for the Atlanta market differs from many of the other markets in this country? We have as much capital invested. We have as much of the fan base to capture. We have state-of-the-art facilities from time to time as they do age. It just so happens we build brand new ones. Why is our expectation for championships and things that most sports fans would argue as being most important, why is our expectation any different from any other markets in the country?
Okay, Kevin, I'll answer that question real quick, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you for the kind words. I think a lot of it is because if you look at markets like New York, if you look at markets like Chicago, you look at markets like Los Angeles, you go with the Dodgers who moved from Brooklyn. They have a history of winning. New York, they have a history of winning. Going back to 1920s with the New York Yankees, there was an expectation that was set then. And there's the expectation for that now because New York's number one at everything. I think that that's the mentality. For Atlanta, I think it's a little different because, like me, I am a transplant. Kevin said, you've lived here all your life. I am a transplant. There are a lot of transplants here in this market. You have the diehard. It's home. You've got those people. A lot of the transplants, some convert, some don't. And there's not really that much of an expectation. And I think throughout the history of Atlanta sports, it hasn't really been shown. It's been that so close, yet so far away. And I think that that's the frustration with a lot of fan bases, is because you don't have that culture like you do in New York, like you do in Chicago, like you do in L.A. And I will reluctantly say also, in the 90s, of course, Dallas. At one point, they had a winning culture. And then I don't know what Jerry Jones has been doing ever since. Chris Goforth and Tony Curry earlier today joined Brad Rowland from Peachtree Hoops to talk about the Atlanta Hawks' new coaching hire. And the first question they ask is, what do we know about the new head coach, Lloyd Pierce?
Hawks have their man. It's Sixers assistant Lloyd Pierce. For more on that, we head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. We welcome in Brad Rowland. Brad is with PeachtreeHoops.com and also his Locked On Hawks podcast. Brad has been all over this this coaching search as the Hawks interviewed 6-7 candidates before deciding on Lloyd Pierce. He'll be introduced at a press conference on Monday. 3-year deal, team option for the fourth year. He got the job on his birthday. He turned 42 yesterday. Outside of that, Brad, what do we really know about Lloyd Pierce?
As much as you can know for someone who's never coached at the head job level, it's very difficult. I've been saying this throughout the process to gauge guys who've never been head coaches because you're relying on information from people you might trust around the league and they might know Lloyd Pierce well. But until you actually see the guy coach, you kind of have sort of a wall of what you can know. But he's been a player development focused guy. That's what the Hawks wanted in this search. He's young. He's got good relationships around the league. He's known for his defense. So I think he sort of fits the profile of what Travis Schlenk said he wanted, someone that can grow with this franchise. And, as little as we can know, it's kind of one of those things where you have to kind of trust the front office on this one because once it became clear they were going to hire a first-time head coach, it was kind of always going to be like this, regardless of who it was. So Lloyd Pierce is the guy, and it looks like they're going to roll with that, and they're pleased about it.
Brad, was it a surprise to you at all that the Hawks focused almost from the get-go on assistant coaches?
Not overly, I will say. You know, David Fizdale was the one head coach that they reportedly interviewed, and he quickly got the Knicks job after that. And he was one of those younger guys that would have fit the bill, sort of. But I think, you know, Schlenk didn't say this in his press availability. He did say that he wanted to look at head coaches and assistant coaches, but he did emphasize the fact that he wanted a young guy that could grow with this roster. And, you know, most head coaches that are available, at least previous head coaches that are available, are a little bit on the older side. So it didn't necessarily blow me away. Plus, you know, the elephant in the room is that the Hawks have to pay by Budenholzer quite a bit of money over the next 2 years unless he gets a job elsewhere. And with that in mind, you know, assistants usually come cheaper than established head coaches. That's probably not the end-all, be-all for this franchise, but it probably has at least something to do with the focus of, on a younger, unproven guy. But I think it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. You know, they're in the middle of a rebuild. I think if Pierce didn't work out and you get down the line a couple of years and you maybe are closer to a playoff-level team, he could be looking for a more established voice. But for now, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think the Hawks probably saw this as well, to grab someone that you think has real potential to grow with the franchise and just sort of let it build itself.
Brad Rowland from PeachtreeHoops.com, also the Locked On Hawks podcast. He's never been a head coach before. How much of a concern is that? Bud had never been a head coach before, and I think if we judge Bud off of his coaching abilities, I think he was pretty solid there. Bud, the GM, maybe not so much, but Bud, the coach, very good. How much of a concern is it that you bring in a guy in Lloyd Pierce, 11 years on an NBA bench, but has never been the guy before?
I mean, I guess it's a little bit of a concern because you just don't know what the guy's going to be. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Bud because I think people have forgotten almost, at least some people have forgotten that Bud was the first-time head coach. And, you know, all the way through the search, you would hear from people that didn't want these guys that they didn't know. And it's like, well, you know, you're not going to know much about assistant coaches, but if you close off that entire avenue on a rebuilding team and just decide you're going to definitely hire a coach with experience, you're looking at more retreads, and it's kind of it might be a little bit safer, but at the same time, there's probably less upside there. So I think, as we talked about before, you kind of don't know everything with Pierce. You kind of know what you can hear is, you know, defense focused. The fact that he was apparently sort of the engineer of Philadelphia's defense and still was a top five defensive team in the league this year, that's pretty encouraging as well. But ultimately, until you see a guy coach as the head guy in a prominent way, you just there's that element of the unknown. And I understand that probably scares people, but at the same time, I think the Hawks know as much as they possibly can at this point in time, and they were comfortable with it.
You talk about him being kind of a defensive-minded head coach. What does that mean for this roster as it's currently constructed with John Collins, Dennis Schroeder, and others?
It'll be interesting on a number of levels. You know, Travis Schlenk, of course, has all the personnel power, but you would think that he at least sees something in the roster through Pierce. I think, you know, Schlenk is the guy who's ultimately making the hire, and he probably has an idea of what he wants to do now through the prism of having this head coach in place. That probably, you know, I'm sure Pierce presented his schemes, what he wants to do to Schlenk as part of the interview process. You know, I think Collins and Prince and those guys who are sort of the core right now are probably safe, and you kind of just see what Prince, what Pierce can do, I should say, to develop them in the future. I think a guy like Dennis Schroeder was already going to be sort of in some peril this summer. Not that the Hawks will definitely trade him, but I think he is going to be available most likely in trade because, you know, as I said before, Travis Schlenk did not sign Dennis Schroeder. That was Mike Budenholzer decision. He has nothing to do with Dennis Schroeder in terms of being the guy who brought him in. So there are no ties there. And I'm not 100% sure that Schlenk really loves the prospect of having Dennis as the guy at point guard. But if he's on the roster, you know, Pierce's defensive acumen could probably help Dennis and potentially inspire the effort that we saw earlier in his career on that end of the floor. So, you know, the roster changes are probably going to be what they're going to be. It's very difficult to sort of envision what you can do, especially through trades, because you can't just, you know, grab trades out of thin air. You have to have interest around the league. But I think Schlenk probably has a plan overall. It might include a few moves, but Pierce's defensive acumen provides something of a baseline there. I think even if they bring back sort of a similar roster to last year, you might see some development on that end of the floor.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your flagship for the Atlanta Hawks. Brad Rowland is from Peachtree Hoops and Locked On Hawks podcast. Spending some time with us as Hawks have a new coach. It's Lloyd Pierce, the 76ers assistant, will be introduced on Monday. Brad, as we look towards this upcoming season, and the rebuild will continue, it may not be pretty. I think there's a pretty good chance the Hawks may be back in this lottery pick again come this time next year. What are your expectations for Hawks basketball in the 18-19 season?
I think you're pretty safe in assuming that this is going to be a lottery team again. I do think, you know, it'll be instructive in terms of what Schlenk wants when we see what he does in free agency, especially. You know, they're going to make three or four draft picks. They have four picks right now. You could see a trade or two there, but I expect them to make, you know, three or four picks in the upcoming draft and add a lot of talent via the rookie class. But at the same time, rookies are generally, even the guys who project to be good in the future, are not usually good right away. So I think those guys playing a lot of minutes this year might hurt the team a little bit. At the same time, I think you probably get a little bit better production from guys like Prince and Collins because those guys are a year older and more mature. But on the whole, unless Schlenk changes course and, you know, goes out and signs some veterans to try to make this team a little bit better right away, I expect a lottery-bound team again, maybe one that's a little bit better than the one was this year, because, you know, as we all know, by the end of the season, the Hawks are sort of in that mix for the worst record in the league. I don't necessarily anticipate that happening again, but a playoff run would be a little bit surprising to me, if only because it would take Schlenk going out and trying to find some veterans that would not necessarily buy into the plan that he has in place of this sort of a full-scale rebuild. So I think, you know, moderate improvement probably, but if you were asking me today to predict whether they make the playoffs, I'm going to say that they don't again, and we end up in the lottery again in 2019.
Brad, I have been preaching patience if you're a Hawks fan for the last couple of weeks, because there is not a quick fix when you're going through something like this. And even though you may end up with a top five pick, a top six pick, whatever it ends up being in this draft, you go look at the 76ers and the process that they have gone through. You're not always going to bat 1,000. You're going to miss sometimes on draft picks. Having said that, how important will this draft be for the Atlanta Hawks?
It's very important. I'm with you all the way on patience. I think people, you know, even the people that wanted the rebuild, honestly, even fans that wanted the rebuild are already feeling impatient about it after one season. And I get that. But I do think Travis Schlenk sees the big picture and is not going to panic and suddenly go out and sign, you know, veterans trying to make the playoffs this year. That would be a mistake in my view. But yeah, it's patience is very important. But and this 2018 draft is also very important. But at the same time, I think it's important also, you know, if the Hawks don't win the lottery on Tuesday and they're not picking in the top two or three, I think the fans are going to be upset about the previous season because, you know, it won't net a top two pick. But at the same time, part of the whole decision to rebuild is to just give yourself a ton of bites at the apple in the draft and give yourself a lot of opportunities to find the next sort of pieces in the draft. That's very important to note as well. So they'll have three or four opportunities to make picks this year, regardless of where they are. And hopefully, obviously, if you're the Hawks, you want to win the lottery. But if they don't and they end up picking, you know, four, five, or six in the draft, there's a lot of talent available. So patience. And this is definitely an important draft, but you have to hit it in some ways because you're going to have four picks. And you probably won't hit all four because that's just the math of it all. But if you hit two or three of these picks and have guys that are going to be on your roster long term, that would be a huge win and really help the process of the rebuild.
Brad Rowland, Peachtree Hoops, and the Locked On Hawks podcast with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about Lloyd Pierce, the new head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, and also the NBA draft that's coming up. The draft lottery happens on Tuesday night. I don't know, Brad, I kind of feel like the NBA owes us one, right? Don't they? I mean, we've been in this league for a while now. They owe us one.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Hawks fans would agree with you, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where, you know, the late victories that the Hawks got that were very controversial in some ways, but the fan base that wanted the team to lose necessarily for draft positioning are going to hurt in a little bit of a way there, because the percentages don't necessarily favor the Hawks winning the lottery. For instance, they have a 13.7% chance to win the lottery. That's not super likely, but at the same time, you know, there's a, you know, about 50-50 chance of a top three, top four pick, and that's what you kind of want. So I do think there's some karmic potential. The Hawks haven't won the lottery. You know, even Al Horford, the last time they really got lucky in the lottery was the Al Horford lottery, and he was still the number three pick in the draft. So they have a lot of hopefully some karma built up, and they can actually land a top pick on Tuesday, because if they did that, there's a lot of talent in this draft they can capitalize on. That'd be huge for the franchise.
Real quick, Brad, before we let you go, what are the odds that Mike Budenholzer is coaching in the NBA this season?
I think it's pretty significant. I don't think it's a lock by any means, but I think between the Milwaukee Bucks opening and the Toronto Raptors opening, Bud seems to be at least one of the leading candidates in both jobs. So if you factor those two together, I think it's pretty likely Bud gets a job. But on Bud's side, there's a little bit less urgency because he's going to be getting paid by the Hawks. So there's no real desire for him to go coach Orlando or go do one of those things. So I think if he gets a good job like Milwaukee or Toronto, obviously he'll take it. But if not, I think he's not going to settle for a lesser job. So not 100%, but I think probably greater than 50-50.
Brad, appreciate it as always, man. Good to hear from you. I'm sure we'll talk again before the summer's over.
Oh, you knew that I was going to throw this in here. the greatest mom song of our generation. And I talk for those that are in their 30s right now. 404-741-0929. And again, I will give Lloyd Pierce a chance. But right now, my faith in the rebuild is still a little less optimistic. And I know that Quan tried to talk me off the ledge, and I appreciate that. But it's just still there. It's a wait-and-see approach. I guess we'll have to find out on the Wednesday or Tuesday night lottery. Coming up next, my favorite segment. I had to get that in there. Our Big Fat Stupid Society, where we look at the doldrums of society and its self-imposed inadequacies. That's coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Edition of Big Fat Stupid Society could go without a story from, you guessed it, Florida, where a Central Florida man is now accused, and I'm not joking when I read this, of hiding his legless fugitive girlfriend from police by stuffing her into a plastic storage container. He couldn't use a travel bag. But 48-year-old John Robert Carr of Winter Haven, Florida, is charged with resisting arrest. News outlets reporting Carr attempted to hide 39-year-old Crystal Lee Anderson from U.S. Marshals and Polk County Sheriff's deputies on Tuesday. Anderson was wanting for failure to appear in court, charges including false imprisonment and leading to a robbery in 2015 of a Burger King where she held people hostage using a BB gun. It ended in a shooting with police where, hence, she lost both of her legs. But here's the part right here that gets me. Authorities received a tip that Anderson was with Carr. He denied that Anderson was there, but an officer spotted Carr placing the now 4-foot-tall woman into the container. And, of course, she surrendered without incident. Well, of course she did. She didn't have a leg to stand on. That was pretty awful, wasn't it? But I just couldn't resist. Well, no, actually, I'm not sorry. You don't hold people hostage in a damn Burger King with a BB gun. No, I have no sympathy at all. Thank you very much. All right. I am not a big fan of selfies whatsoever. I cringe when I see most of my friends on social media and they take multiple selfies time and time again. It just makes me cringe. And some of them are just the craziest things. But this has restored my faith in the laws of natural selection. Dateline New Delhi. A man trying to take a selfie with an injured bear was mauled to death in India on Wednesday. The latest in a string of selfie-related fatalities in the country. The Hindustan Times, I think I'm saying that right, report the victim, Prabhu Batara, was returning from a wedding in a town I can't pronounce and I'm not going to try to, in eastern India, with several others when he stopped his car near a forest to attend nature's call. He spotted an injured bear and tried to snap a selfie with the animal. Why? It is a bear. It eats things, even when it's injured. And I know that there are comedians that make jokes about white people when it comes to, like, camping and exploring animals and stuff like that, which you could say is justifiable. But you're taking a selfie with a bear? Wasn't there this story a long time ago where everybody was, like, passing around a dolphin taking a selfie and it wound up dying? Yes. This is karma coming back. And I would like to also think that that bear might have just said, Harambe, I got you, man. Rest in peace. I got you. Taking a selfie with a bear, even if it's injured. What the hell is wrong with us? All right, here's a local one, and I'm kind of torn on this one, actually. Out of Rabun County, Georgia, where a teacher is accused of being drunk at his school's prom last weekend, where he was chaperoning. He was intoxicated at Rabun County High School's prom. The responding officer said the teacher, identified as 32-year-old John Kilby, had bloodshot, watery eyes, and smelled like alcohol. He agreed to provide his breath sample, and after several attempts, he blew a .124, which I believe, I guess it varies in different states, is double the legal limit, I think. I understand going to a prom and having a chaperone. It would probably make me want to drink, too. So I'm not mad at the guy for that. But you got to take it in moderation, pal. Or at least, you know, do like in the old days where you used to sneak the flask into the college football game and just do it in moderation. Yeah, this guy went a little bit overboard. And it's probably not going to be a good look, especially when he's in the school system. Okay. I'm gonna bring you in on this one, Patton, real quick, because I have a question. A little small scientific poll. When you're standing in line at a fast food restaurant or whatever, do you get annoyed at maybe the person in front of you that complains that maybe there was not enough fries or maybe their ingredients were not fresh enough? And I'm talking about a McDonald's. I may be the only one that might just actually be annoyed by this. This is why I want to take this scientific poll. And you can also tweet me at On the Marks Radio to let me know. Maybe it's just me. But the fries are not hot enough, which I can understand. If they're stale cold, you don't want those.
I can say the worst experience like that I've ever been in is a Chick-fil-A. Actually, the manager walked out and said, in front of a line of customers during lunch rush, the waffle fries are not working today.
Well,
and I heard the groaning from people like I've never heard.
But I'm talking about somebody's going in there. It's like, I want a Big Mac, but I want fresh ingredients. You're in a McDonald's. I mean, I understand you don't want a cockroach tap dancing on top of your lettuce. But we're talking about a McDonald's. We're talking about fast food. This isn't a Red Robin. I don't know. It just annoys me. I was just like sitting here going, seriously?
It's amazing.
I mean, I'm picky, but not that damn picky.
It's amazing how picky people can be, and I'm a picky eater, as you're aware, but the interesting thing is how people consistently will put the wrong things in their body and then be up in arms over stuff they really shouldn't care about.
And maybe it's just me, but anyways. At a truck stop in Mississippi, an argument over peach cobbler got a little out of hand. The incident left one man recovering from a gunshot wound and another man behind bars facing attempted murder charges. I understand in the South that peach cobbler is very, very good. And most people will jokingly say they would probably kill for it. But let's just not do it literally. Witnesses say they watched as Stanley Woodson went off on workers about his dessert. The victim who was shot stepped in and ended up taking a bullet in the back. Lova Novoskone says he made his usual stop at the truck stop and he intervened when he said that Mr. Woodson was cursing a lot. He put his Coke on the counter and he's like, you're not going to talk to him like that. Well, anyways, Mr. Woodson was mad about the peaches that were served with his cobbler and was going off on it. Quote, everyone that comes to the store knows these women, that's disrespectful. That's what he said. And I understand we're talking about truck stop food here. I mean, granted, in some places, it's pretty good. But in some places, it's not that great. I don't know what the deal was with the said peach cobbler.
Did they serve the peaches from the can?
I don't know. That could be a question that they may have asked, which, again, goes to just really, really picky and really, really annoying. But a man does not need to get shot over an argument over peach cobbler. Come on, man. Come on. I understand in the South, peach cobbler is very, very good. Apple cobbler is good, too. A lot of cobblers are good in the South. But you ain't going to shoot nobody over it. All right, that's going to do it. We'll wrap things up. And there's a town that's in the front running for the 2019 NFL Draft, and it's not Atlanta. You won't believe what town is in the lead for it. We'll talk about it next. It's On the Mark, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Final segment, live, local, high atop the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta. It's On the Marks. I am Jason Marks right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. One of the mysteries I've always tried to solve is how Ozzy Osbourne, when he sings, can speak plain English, but when he just regularly talks, he sounds like me back in college after spending a night in Bloomington. I've never figured that out, which most people joke it's the drugs. But Patton, I think, brought up that it's just the way those from Manchester just talk. But as we wrap up this show, Nashville is the front runner for the 2019 NFL Draft. Yes, Nashville. Other cities in consideration for 2019 and 2020, Las Vegas, Denver, Kansas City, and a combination of Cleveland and Canton. And here's the bad part about this. The decision is expected to be announced on the 22nd of this month in Atlanta. Of course it is. Atlanta, we won't get consideration, but we'll announce the decision here in Atlanta. I mean, they already had the draft in Jerry Jones's Cathedral of Mediocrity. We got a nice, shiny little venue that we just built here in town. Why not Atlanta? Why not? I love Nashville, but this is a disgrace. Just my own personal opinion. Never take a day for granted. Find your passion and the good in life, and may you find your own personal bliss. Happy Mother's Day. It is On the Mark. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.